Thank you, worship team. We're continuing our series called Prayer, and I just want to thank Coach Mays for sharing last week. As I watched and as I listened and as I worshiped with you, God just really moved and really spoke to me as well to begin to understand even more and more the power of prayer and what it really means to pray in the Spirit. And I love the verse he used in Ephesians 6, and let me just read that again to you this morning. Ephesians 6, 18 through 19, it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." He left this out, but I wanted to include it this morning so that you could just pray also for me. No, just kidding. "Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel." Such a beautiful prayer. Just reminds me, and I was moved last week to remember that prayer should be our first response, right? Not our last resort. That we should pray in every situation, on every occasion. To pray when you pick up the phone, to pray when you go to school, to pray when you go to work, to pray when you send that email, to pray before you answer that text. To pray in every situation. And then Paul says to use every kind of prayer and request there is. And you say, "Well, Monty, I didn't know there were so many different kinds of prayers." And let me just say, there are. There are many throughout the Bible. And so what this series has really been all about is to go to some of the prayers of the Bible and look at different ways that people prayed. Maybe even different patterns of prayer. Of course, we know that Jesus taught a pattern for prayer. You remember the Lord's Prayer? It came from his disciples saying, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And he said, "Okay, use this outline, right? Use this model as a way to pray." And so this morning, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite prayers in all the Bible. And I've shared this, this prayer before, but I couldn't just bring myself to do a series on prayer without, especially of prayers of different ones in the Bible, without using this prayer. And it's a prayer that I prayed over really since I heard a message on this in college. And then it's been a prayer that's just gone with me throughout my life, especially even when we started The Rock over 18 years ago. And even when I use different patterns of prayer, I include this prayer within the pattern that I'm using. And I so want you to discover it, this prayer this morning. And I think it's a prayer that could change your world. Let me see if I can also make sure we change your world. Are our air conditioners not working? Where's somebody check that out for me? I see a lot of fanning up here, right? All right, I see a lot of fanning. But I know this is weird, but come on. We are a spoiled people, right? We are a spoiled people. But I really believe this prayer can change. If not your world, it can change your life. And it's in 1 Chronicles. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Chronicles. I ought to do a kind of sword drill, see how many could get there first. It's kind of difficult to find. It's after 1 and 2 Kings there in the Old Testament. It's one of the most difficult books of the Old Testament to read because there's very little content. It's just a list of genealogies. It's just this person begat this person begat this person begat this. And it's tough reading. It's really tough reading. And there are chapters upon chapters of these begats. And then right in the middle of 600 names, the Bible pauses the begats and gives someone an honorable mention. It pauses and says, there's this guy named Jabez in the begats, who is more honorable than his brothers, and it stops and talks about him, and then we get to listen to his prayer to his God. And so, if you found it by now, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we'll read verses 9 and 10. I love the papers rattling, God's word. It says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, and then here's his prayer. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. I really believe this prayer is about what happens when ordinary people like you and me decide to reach for an extraordinary life. Jabez, he wanted to be more and do more for his God. And so you begin to think about, what were the secrets to his enduring reputation, that he was more honorable than his brothers? Because things started badly for Jabez, a person that no one had heard of. I mean, his very name suggests that he was not a candidate to accomplish anything significant in this world's eyes, for his name literally means pain or sorrow. Can you imagine naming your child Pain? Now, I know some of your children are Pains, but could you imagine naming one of them? Like, this is Sue, and this is John, and here's Pain right here. And he is a pain. No, you wouldn't say that, right? Maybe his mother foresaw that he would be a pain, or maybe she had pain in the delivery. Whatever the reason, she chose to name him Pain, and she puts this label on him for life. And maybe some of you are living out a script because of a name that someone has, labeled you with, that you kind of believe about yourself. I'm sure with you, I was so skinny and little when I was a little boy, and I had really skinny legs, and they were bow-legged at birth, all right? I didn't get this from riding horses. They were bow-legged at birth, and somebody began to call me Chicken Legs. And, that was my name for like the first 10 years of my life, Chicken Legs, Chicken Legs. And it really marked me to a point where I still am uncomfortable walking out here in front of you. It's why I don't like to wear the skinny jeans. Because people, I know, you're looking at my chicken legs, right, my bow legs. But, maybe you've been labeled something through your life. Something or someone has labeled you. And for some of you, that's more, it's more than just chicken legs. Maybe for some of you, the name is divorced or depressed. Or maybe you've, gone through bankruptcy or something. There's this label that's been placed on you. Well, Pain cried out to the God of Israel. And as I read that, I thought, if Jabez was going to cry out to God, wouldn't he talk to his God about his pain? I mean, right? We do that. We spend a lot of our crying out to God talking about our past or talking about our problems or our pain. And there's really nothing wrong with that. God, wants us to do that. But I think in 2023, Jabez begins to teach us that there's something better. There's something better. Jabez cried out to God of Israel, not about his pain. He cried out to God about God's promise, about his potential in God, the power of God working in his life. Jabez relied on something beyond himself, beyond his own limitations or his own strength. Jabez placed his hope in the healing power of prayer to change his pain. And the elevating power of prayer to change his standing in the world, that he was more honorable than his brothers. The equipping power of prayer to accomplish more than he could in his own strength. And of course, the promising power of prayer to bring God's blessing to his unlikely life. Things started badly for a person no one had heard of. And he prayed an unusual one-sentence prayer, and things ended extraordinarily well. There's something about Jabez, a simple one-sentence prayer request to God that changed his life and left a personal mark on his world. And so this morning, I want us just to kind of walk through that the prayer line by line. And, you know, it just has its own outline. And so, you know, it'll be familiar to you. But I want us to look at them one at a time. The thing about Jabez, not only did he pray big, but he also believed big. And the first phrase of his prayer to God is, he says this, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." And the Hebrew word for bless is barak. Say that. You say barak. You got to kind of say it with like a popcorn stuck in your throat or whatever, in the back of your throat. Barak. I don't know. Barak. And it has this word picture that God would stoop down and do something great in his life. And I write it this way. Jabez-like prayer is just pray for blessing. Pray for blessing. And I don't want you to confuse this. I'm not just talking financially, right? Although that's a part of it. We don't believe in the prosperity gospel. I'm not into health and wealth and blab it and grab it and name it and claim it. I'm not into that. Because we must remember that prayer is not an instant cure. It's not a quick fix exercise. It's not magic. It's not guaranteed get what you ask. But prayer is this act of surrender that takes the horrible, the painful, the impossible, and yields it to God. Prayer is an act of surrender that turns control over to Him who works in and through all things. It's an act of surrender that says, I'm going to trust God to overcome my enemy. That tells the world that He's the one that has all the answers. And He wants to do something great in us. He wants to bless us. Psalms 18:35 says, "You have given me your shield of victory. Your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great." So when I read the account of Jabez, something inside of me immediately resonates with him. You've heard me say this. I'm just a country boy from Mulberry, right? And there's been people over the years that will say about Mulberry, nothing good comes out of Mulberry. Now, that's not true. I mean, come on. And you know, it's not true. But you know, but when I was young, again, I was so little. I was shy. I was a mama's boy. I hid behind my mother's skirt, and because of that, it kind of led to me getting bullied a little bit, and that wasn't even a word back then, but getting bullied, picked on, pushed around, right? I can remember the Walter Ellison of my elementary days, and so if you hear Walter, I remember, and I can remember the John Olbys of my middle school years. I can remember, I'm calling them out, I can remember the Pee Wee Stevens of my high school days, right? I even had a coach at University of Florida, Coach Lyle. He was the coach of the defensive backs. He actually graduated from Mulberry, which I thought was a good thing, and it ended up not being. I mean, he called me Mulberry in a very derogatory way and just would say, "Man, what are you even out here for? What, you know, are you sure you can't do this?" I mean, so we've all experienced that, right? We've all experienced pain and to varying degrees. And even at times, we too have taken the name of Jabez. Pain may have found its place in your life and in such a way that you can identify with Jabez. Perhaps you've been told you won't amount to anything. Why are you wasting your time? You'll never make it. I don't love you any longer. You're useless. Maybe you have been so overwhelmed by feelings of rejection or discouragement or disappointment that you wonder, can God really transform my life and make a difference through me? You know, my perspective began to change when, as with Jabez, I prayed a prayer that transformed my life. I prayed at the age of 12 and embraced my Savior's loving offer of salvation. And then over the next several years, I began to discover a God who was greater than my problems. He was greater than my circumstances. I was introduced to a God who has big plans for anyone who will dare to say yes to Him. I began to believe God. Began to believe big. That God could bless me and use me to make a difference for Him. That He really could use me to change my world. Without God? No way. With God? Yes way. Yes way. Listen, prayer not only changes hearts, prayer changes lives. Prayer can change the highly unlikelies into absolutely positivelies. That's a word. Who can impact the world. So I began to pray, oh God, bless me indeed. God wants to bless us, to give us more, so not for our own gain, but so that we can be a blessing to others. You remember in Genesis with Abraham in chapter 12, verse 2, he says, Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to others. It's not what that says there, but that's what 12:2 says. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and you will be a blessing to others. He wants us to be a blessing to the world around us. And so I pray, Lord, bless me indeed so that I can be a blessing to others. Put that prayer up there, please. Yeah. Lord, bless me indeed so that I can be a blessing to others. Do something so big in my life that it is obviously from you, oh God. He believed big. But not only did Jabez believe big, he also dreamed big. The next line says, and God, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. And I say that this way, pray for influence. Jabez prayed big, he believed big, he dreamed big, and God gave him a big influence. You know, people have always told me, Monty, risk dreaming God-sized dreams, right? And I've always been a big dreamer. I've always, even a daydreamer. You can find me sometimes in my office, and I'll just, the girls will walk by, and I'll just be kind of staring off into the horizon or whatever. I've always just been a dreamer, a daydreamer. One of my favorite songs growing up was by Davy Jones and the Monkees. You remember that song, Daydream Believer? Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen? Right? I mean, I'm a daydreamer, right? I'm a daydreamer. I'm a daydream believer, especially. Listen, especially when the dreams are focused on God and how He might use me, what He might do in my life. And so I always tell people, dream big, but make sure God is at the center of your dreams. One of my life verses is Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. I just love it. It says this, God can do anything, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit, deeply. Gently within us. Dreams born of God can change lives, can give purpose, and give meaning in life. And it can begin to give God the opportunity to use you and I to impact our world in amazing and unpredictable ways. Jabez dreamed beyond his circumstances. And dared to believe that God could and would use him to make a difference in his world. Always, listen, always involve yourself with something that's bigger than you are. Because that's where God is. That's where God is. And so I knew I wanted to make a difference in my world like Jabez. And I thought that if what he did worked for him, perhaps it too could work for me. And I knew I wanted my prayers to make a difference in my life and the lives of others. And so I began to understand and really hold on to the truth that God wants His people to pray big, to believe big, to dream big, so that we can have a big influence on our world. And so I pray, Lord, increase my influence and opportunities for You. Show me Your purpose so I can live a life bigger, bigger than my own. And then the next line of his prayer is this: I pray that Your hand, God, would be with me. And I say it this way: pray for presence. Listen, we have an opportunity to make a God impression every day, right? Whether it's just standing in line somewhere or pumping gas, we carry with us impressions, right? Yeah, the smell or the odor of where we've been, so to speak. I don't know if you, how many of you have been, you know, in a smoke-filled room or been, you know, around a bonfire, and immediately you begin to smell like smoke, right? Or maybe you're in the food preparation business, and you know, you come out of there at the end of a day, and you go, man, I smell like Mission Barbecue, right? Or maybe floral arrangements, right? You deal with flowers, although you smell like flowers. Or me, you know, I worked in a kind of a tractor dealership, and it was a tractor dealership, and all kind of heavy machinery that ran by diesel. And so if you spent that day in there, you just come out of there at the end of the day smelling like diesel. Well, Paul says that we, as followers of Christ, are the aroma of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. So listen, if you have been with Christ, you should smell like Him. When you have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, you can begin to take on His distinctive fragrance. You acquire His aroma when you spend time with God in prayer and reading the Bible and worshiping and fellowshipping with other Christians and seeking to do your Heavenly Father's will. After a while, it's undeniable that you have been in the presence of God, and heaven's scent becomes your own. So I pray for presence. Acts 11:21 says the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Listen, the only reason the rock will make a difference in our world is if the hand of God is with us. I can't live out the call on my life. You can't live out the call on your life without His presence, His favor, His hand with you. I get it, right? I know that I'm in over my head. I need His hand with me each and every day. I love Exodus 33, where Moses understood this so well. He said this. He said, then Moses said to God, if Your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that You are pleased with me and with Your people unless You go with us? What else will distinguish me and Your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? God, I need Your presence. I can't do this without You. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. It's His presence that we need every day in our lives. You know, I can remember the first time I actually did a sermon. Fortunately, I was standing behind a pulpit, and so my chicken legs, or my bow legs, I literally could feel them. It's the first time my knees ever touched each other. Let me just say that. That's how nervous I was. That's how scared I was. And I thought that, you know, after doing this here over year after year after year, that, you know, that I would get used to it, right? But I don't. I don't. I know the responsibility that it is to share God's Word with you. And so I'm scared to death every time I walk up here, every time that I share God's Word with a group of people. There's this fear there, right? And I say, God, I don't want to get up here unless you are with me. Unless you are with me. And it's the same with all of us, right? You know, we step into our world each day, whether it be our family or with our children or at our workplace or on our campus. And listen, you need His presence with you. You need His presence. And so I pray, Lord, give me a sense of Your continual presence and direction. And then Jabez's next phrase is, and God, that You would keep me from the evil one. And I just write that, pray for protection. Because listen, when you get into God's presence and you've asked His blessings on your life and you begin to have influence, you can bet that Satan's somewhere around. So I pray for blessing. I pray for influence, for presence, and protection. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I come to give you life and to give it to you to the full. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan comes to steal our cheerfulness, right? You know, Satan wants to steal our joy. He comes to steal our contagiousness. He wants our faith to look unattractive to other people. He comes to steal our confidence. He wants us to have these seasons of doubt that makes us doubt our Lord and Savior. He wants to kill the conviction that we have in our hearts so that we will stand for nothing. He wants to kill our compassion. He doesn't want us to care for others. He wants to kill our commitment to Him. He wants us to be so indecisive when it comes to our faith. He wants to steal our character. And so He doesn't want us to grow in our faith. He distracts us so that we don't keep seeking God and keep pursuing Him and growing in our faith and, you know, going, being a part of small groups and Bible studies and, you know, faith growth stuff. He distracts us, and so he wants to kill our character. He wants to steal our certainty and make us unsure of the decision that we made to follow Him as our Lord and Savior. He wants to steal that certainty that, no, wait a minute, I was baptized, you know, I was raised a new creation in Christ, and Satan will come along and try to steal that certainty that you had in that moment. And I ask and pray for protection. He takes these things from us so that we can begin, so that we will begin to lose our impact and lose our influence for Him, for God. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And, you know, he's prowling around, you know, and sometimes he's hiding right in the bush. We don't even know that he's there looking to devour, to kill, steal, and destroy. Listen, we have an enemy. And his name is Satan. And so we need to be people that are ready to fight, right? To get up every morning and put on the full armor of God. To fight for our families, to fight for our children, right? To wake up every morning and I've been praying for my kids forever, but even now as they go through things in their lives as adults, see, I get up and I pray for them, and I just tell Satan, get your hands off of my children in Jesus' name. Pray. We need to pray and fight the enemy. I don't know how many of you, your house has been broken into before. Our house has been broken into a couple times. And I don't know about you, but you feel so violated when that happens, right? And so, of course, we used to not have an alarm system, but as soon as that kind of stuff happens, you put in alarms, right? You push the button every night when you go to sleep, and you do that for a while until you accidentally remember or forget that you did it, and then maybe you push the away instead of the stay, and you get up to go do your business, and the alarm goes off. That kind of stops that all of a sudden when everything goes crazy, and you go, what? But we do that. We put those alarms in our lives to protect us, right? And so I began to think about that, and several years ago, I said, I need to install some new alarms in my life when it comes to Satan, like learning to listen to God's voice, to get so close and to be in His presence so much that when I'm making a decision or when I'm at a crossroad, I can hear His voice behind me say, "This is the way, Monty. This is the way. Walk in it." Begin to put a new alarm of daily being under the control of His Holy Spirit. Not just praying to be praying, but praying in His Spirit. Asking His Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct me. And then being obedient to that Spirit's movement. The alarm of consistently spending more time with God in prayer. Studying His Word. Listen, these alarms in my life have served as a warning system so that when Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy me, it goes off in me. And I go, no, not now. Not on my watch. And so I pray, Lord, protect me and keep me from falling into Satan's traps. I pray for protection. So God granted Jabez what he requested. I love how that prayer ends. You know, I used to love to do magic when I was growing up. And there were some things that I was pretty good at. But I had someone show me this little magic trick, and I want to show it to you, all right? And so you can do this. Everybody participate right here. I want you to clasp your hands together. It's called magnetic fingers is what this magic trick is called. Magnetic. And I want you to, come on. All right, and just squeeze as hard as you can for about 10 seconds. As hard as you can, about 10 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then put your two index fingers up and try to keep them from touching each other. Abracadabra. You can't do it. You want to try it again? You want to try it again? All right, here we go. Squeeze them really hard. Put your index fingers up. Magic. No, I think it's God, right? Now, you'll have a tendency. Oh, you don't have to clap for that. That was that. You kind of have a tendency now when you're looking at your hands and it's like this, and you go, "Oh, hey, here's the church, here's the steeple." No. Don't do that. Don't do that. But you are now in a position to pray. And prayer is not magic. I mean, Jabez touched heaven through prayer, and God touched Jabez. And the result was increased influence on his world. Earth reached heaven, heaven responded, and two worlds, the natural and the supernatural, connected. Only then can there be true impact. And it only takes a yielded and available individual who sincerely professes and proclaims the love of Christ. So let's pray. Pray for blessing. Let's pray for influence. Let's pray for his presence. Let's pray for protection. And begin to watch God grant your request. For prayer changes hearts. It changes lives. It changes nobodies into somebodies. The greatest thing we can do for God and others is pray. D.L. Moody said, "Behind every work of God, you will always find some kneeling form." And so, I've shared this with you over the last several weeks with the students. I've shared that some people will miss heaven by a mere 18 inches. The distance between the head and the heart. Between intellectual assent and heartfelt belief. And then I shared with you that, you know, if you measure from your knees to the floor, for some of us, it's about 18 inches. And I begin to think about this when it comes to prayer. We are only 18 inches from experiencing God. We're only 18 inches from a life-changing solution. We're only 18 inches away from knowing God's plan and purpose for our life. Listen, you're only 18 inches away from saying a little prayer like Jabez. And God deciding to grant that request and use you change your world. And it all begins with prayer, that act of surrender. Listen, God does not want what we have. He wants us. When He gets us, He gets all that we have, all that we are, all that we face. You see, Jabez had little to offer God, yet he came just as he was to God, and he gave all he had to his God. God has done some extraordinary things to ordinary people like Jabez, and I believe He wants to do the same in us. But we must come just as we are. Just as we are. I've shared with you before that when I was about 19 years old, I went over to Tampa Stadium and was a part of the Billy Graham Crusade there. It was sold out totally. Kim and I went together, and it was totally sold out, and we were in the choir together, the Billy Graham Crusade choir. And so we went over early, practiced a few songs, actually the night before, and of course the altar call was all he always used. Anybody, old believers, know what song they sang at the altar call? Just as I am, yeah, just as I am. Of course, there's 100 verses to Just as I Am, but it was just amazing to stand there that night as a young man, still a boy really, but to stand there and sing that song, Just as I Am, and watch people come just as they were to down and make decision after decision after decision after decision. It impacted me. And I went, wow. God really does want to change people. And I walked away from that wanting to be used by my God. Wanting to pray bigger, to believe bigger, right? To dream bigger for my God. And He wants to do the same in your life. But we have to come just as we are. So just as I am, I bring my past. Just as I am, I surrender my future. Just as I am, I hand over my insecurities. Just as I am, I lay aside all my circumstances. Just as I am, I abandon all of my excuses. Just as I am, I relinquish my pride. Just as I am, I let go of all my failures. And just as I am, I come and I offer my God my life. Jabez came just as he was, and he gave all that he had to God. Will you do that today? Will you come just as you are? And allow God to begin to do His work in your life in the same way that He did in a kid named Jabez. He wants to do in your life. So come just as you are today before your God and just ask Him. Pray for His blessing. Pray for His influence. Pray for His presence in your life. Pray for protection. Pray, oh God, use me. Let's pray together. As we come to this moment where we put our hands together and we cry out to our God, would you do that? Would you just come just as you are today? Lay aside your pride and humble yourself. Lay aside excuses and say, God, I'm coming to you. And maybe you're in here this morning, and for you, that coming would be to say, God, I've never totally surrendered my life. I've never said yes to you. So maybe today, this morning, is a day where you say yes and you confess with your mouth that you want Him to be your Lord and Savior. That you believe that as the Son of God, He came and died on a cross for your sins and rose on that third day, so that you, right here in this moment, could receive that grace and that mercy and come into a forever personal relationship with Him. Would you do that this morning? Come just as you are and surrender everything to Him. Maybe for others of you this morning, you have that personal relationship with Him, but you know that you haven't surrendered everything to Him. You're still hiding behind your insecurities, right? You're still hiding maybe behind your failures or maybe the labels that people have put on you. And today you just need to come and surrender everything to Him. Allow Him to forgive you and bring you back into a right relationship. Begin to do His work in your life once again, changing you, transforming you to be more and more like His Son Jesus, so that He can use you to make a difference for Him. So let's pray like Jabez. Lord, bless me indeed. Do something so big in my life that it is obviously from You. Increase my influence and opportunities for You. And God, give me a sense of Your continual presence and direction. Protect me and keep me from falling into Satan's trap. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.